Grace and peace. God bless you. Welcome to another podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about, let's see, how do I want to title this? Keys to understanding your personal prophecy keys to understanding personal prophecy. How about that? because sometimes even me, you know, sometimes you just kind of fall into that little funk where you're wondering, you know, where God is. Are you still on track with what he's promised? You know, sometimes you need to examine yourself to see, have I lost faith in what God is saying? Or, you know, sometimes, and not just recently, like last night for me, you're just kind of questioning God about some things in terms of, you know, making sure that you're on the right path. I often say that just because you're doing a good thing doesn't necessarily mean you're doing a God thing. There's a big difference in doing what, you know, works, but is that necessarily what you need to be doing right now? Paul gave a scripture. He said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient, right? So in other words, you know, it might be the right thing to do, but do I need to do that right now? And again, it's always going to be connected to timing. Always, always, always. So I'm going to open up in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. And I truly believe that if we would grab a hold to what the meaning of this very powerful passage of scripture is, it will really help us. I come into contact with a lot of people and they'll, you know, have me vet prophecy, you know, say, you know, I'm going to God, I received this word. I just want to run it past you and see what God is saying to you. Or, you know, I need clarity, which, you know, sometimes you don't have the answers. You know, if that word didn't come from you, then neither did the understanding come to you for that word. And so sometimes I'm like, hey, I don't know. Go, you know, ask the person who released it to you. And then other times, you know, you can say, yeah, you know, I believe God is saying that. And I, you know, I can feel that, I can bear witness. Well, yeah, God, that's what God is doing. But then, you know, truthfully, there are other times when, you know, I'm like, I don't know. You know, maybe need to, you know, go to the person who released, or, you know, of course, go to God and just get some clarity there. But I believe that if we would get a hold to Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, as prophetic people and as prophetic ministers, I think it would really help to solidify our understanding of the nature of prophetic ministry. I think it just seals up what prophetic ministry is in a nutshell. Okay, so I'm going to read it to you. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so just kind of want to linger a little bit on that latter portion of that scripture. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit, or is the breath of prophecy, or is the meat of what prophecy is. And so in terms of being receiving prophetic ministry, and in terms of being a prophetic minister, once you get that understanding, I'm telling you, it would help you. For those of you that, you know, maybe just new in the prophetic, and you're just not really certain, you know, God, I'm afraid to release this. I don't know if this is you. I don't know if this is my flesh or what have you. But once you get the understanding, once you lock that down and get the understanding that, you know, any word of prophecy is going to testify to the lordship. It's going to testify to the deity. And it's going to testify to the power of Christ. If I could just get the word, you know, I just want to scream that. Like, I want to stand on a real tall bridge and just scream it out to all the churches. If we would get that, it would eliminate so much confusion. It would eliminate it. You know, listen, you would just kill the false prophets. And I don't mean physically kill them, but, you know, kill their voice. Kill the power of their voice. Kill the efficacy of their voice. If we would get it. If we would get it. If we would get Revelation 19:10. And it's not hard to, you know, to even commit that to your memory. Revelation 19:10 is the, I believe, my personal opinion, is the foundation of what all prophetic ministry is. It is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. It testifies to his lordship. It testifies to his deity. It testifies to his nature, his attributes. It testifies to everything Jesus. And who did this come from? The apostle who was well beloved, the one who laid in Jesus' bosom. Who better to teach you all things prophetic, right? Who better to teach you how to interpret sin? Remember, I don't know if you all listened to a previous podcast of mine or, you know, where you are as far as that, but I was sharing that I cut my teeth in the word in the book of Revelation, you know, as a seer. That's God raised me. I wasn't really around people. Some of you are so blessed. You've got mentors and books and teachers and prophets. I didn't really have that coming up. I came up from a religious background. I had Baptist on my mother's side, Pentecostal on my dad's side. So I'm kind of Baptist Pentecostal, right? So I had to, a lot of things I just kind of had to learn through trial and error. And some things I just was shut down. You know, sometimes I had just, and again, and I think I ministered this too in another podcast, that there'll be times where God just, you know, that thing is dormant. It doesn't mean that God changed his mind about you or, you know, oh, I'm sorry, that was counsel I gave my spiritual daughters. It doesn't mean that, you know, God has forgotten about you. Or it's just not time. It's just not time. And so you look at, I was giving her the example about Samuel and how even though Saul, and this is so powerful. I shared this with one of my pastors in Danville, Virginia, very powerful woman of God. And I was sharing with her because she just felt locked down, you know, felt like, you know, her gifts were locked down. And so the Lord just, you know, blessed me to open her understanding to and give her the revelation out of the life of Samuel and Eli. Check this out. Eli was he didn't have a father in grace, right? Even with his own sons, Hophni and Phinehas, he did not have a father in grace. He didn't have a father in mantle, I guess, for the lack of a better word, for his own sons. And so he could not raise those sons up in admonition of the Lord. In other words, those sons, you know, would abuse the women, converted a lot, tricked them out, for the lack of a better word, made them into temple prostitutes. They contaminated the offerings. I mean, the whole nine, y'all. It frustrated God so bad, God killed them. But this was Eli. Eli was the high priest during that time. And so when you think about Eli did not have a fathering mantle for his sons. However, when Hannah committed Samuel to the priesthood, to the work of God, right? That was the covenant she made with God. God, you give me a son, I give him back to you. And I think a lot of us too, let me just take a rabbit trail there for a minute. Many things we've told God, God, if you do this, I'll do that. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, you know, be careful not to make a vow and defer on it. You know, don't make a vow and break it. You know what I'm saying? God is a holy God. Don't make promises. Okay, they're doing some construction behind me, but you know, don't make promises. And we do that. God, if you get me out of this situation, I promise you, I'll do this. If you bless me with this job, I'll tithe. If you get me out of this, I'll never do it. And then we do it again. So stop lying. You know what I'm saying? You know, say God, you know, just ask God to deliver you. Don't put any conditions behind it or promises or covenants, because God will hold you to that. And you know, God, and listen, if you expect God to hold his word, then God expects you to hold his word. And people will do that. You know, that's what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, don't be rash with your mouth, right? Let your words be few, for you are on earth and God is in heaven. So respect that. Respect that. There's another place I can go with that, but it just take me too far away from where I'm going. But anyway, just respect God. Respect his integrity. Respect his office. Respect his position. And like the Bible said, don't just be rash to utter things with your mouth. Don't do that. It's better for you just to be quiet. Study to be quiet. Than to just utter a whole lot of promises. And then you become become a covenant breaker. You don't want that to be your portion in life, a covenant breaker. Because then you have to reap that. Remember, I talked about you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. Well, you become a covenant breaker, then you will harvest covenant breaks in your life. You won't be able to enjoy loyal relationships, long lasting relationships, because you'll harvest that. And that's not what God wants for you. Okay. So Hannah committed Samuel. God, you give this son to me, I'll give him back to you. And listen, she did that, and God gave her five other children. That's a blessing, isn't it? God gave her, because this woman's womb was barren, and because she honored God and she gave Samuel, then God said, you know what, you've shown me that I can trust you at your word. And I think that's where a lot of us are right now, is that, you know, God wants to know, you know, can I trust you at your word? If you said you're going to do this, then do it, no matter what the cost is. This was this woman's only, you know, at that time, her only son. And then it was a son of a breakthrough, because Peninnah had been tormenting her and harassing her. And her husband, what was the man in Elkanah, I think it was, you know, kept saying, am I God? Can I open up your womb? So this was a big issue. But even in that, God blessed her and she gave him back to the Lord. And so, you know, God in that, and boy, that's a topic I just felt in my spirit. In that, when she committed Samuel to the priesthood, to the order of Eli's priesthood, it graced, oh, let me put it like this. God graced Eli just for Samuel. God wasn't graced with a fatherhood anointing for his own blood-born sons, you know, sons from his loins. God didn't even give that to him for Hophni and Phinehas, but God gave him that grace for Samuel, because that was a God work. That's powerful right there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, and we're still talking about principles of prophecy and all that stuff, right? Here's a rabbit trail. And God does that because somebody needs to hear it. When Samuel was raised up, God knew from the beginning that he was going to be a prophet. But it was at the appointed time that that prophet in him, that anointing in him, activated. And even then, he didn't know what to do with it. He didn't know what to do with it, but it activated. So I said all of that to say this. I was telling my spiritual daughter, I said, you know, there'll be times when, you know, God will just, that thing will remain dormant because it was not fit. Hear me closely in the Holy Ghost when I say this. It was not fit for Samuel to exercise his true prophethood under Eli. And some of you will find that as long as you're connected to certain people, you're unable to operate in the fullness of what God has put inside of you. It's just not, it was not meant for you to manifest it in that, you know what I'm saying? It just was not meant for you to manifest it there. And so that's what I was sharing with her, because she just, you know, had some concerns, about some things that God had been doing, and she wasn't really seeing God moving in an area in her life. And I said, you were in a season where, you know, that connection that you were in, God was not going to allow you to manifest your fullness in that place. Okay. And you can even, because I love to get biblical, listen, you got to. You know, that's the difference between prophesiers and prophets. And when I say prophesiers, I mean those with the gift of prophecy. And that's beautiful. That's when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you also receive an unction to prophesy. It does not mean you're a prophet, though. Okay? And you're just as special as everybody else. Listen, we all one. Praise God. But that's the difference between a prophesier. God said. And I see God is doing it, and I hear God, and the Lord is showing me. And that's wonderful. But when you are called to the office of the prophet, it comes with revelation. It's just a heavier thing. Doesn't mean you're better than anybody else. Come on, y'all. It just means you've been graced to walk in that capacity to help train God's people. That's what it's all about. The fivefold. It's not an elite army. Okay. And honestly, it just means you have more work. You just got more work to do. And God has graced you for the work. Levels of military, they're all trained, they all go through the same boot camp, but you know, you have some in different camps, you have some in different battalions or troops that are just trained differently, but guess what, they're all under that U.S. Army, they're all under the same auspices, they're all soldiers at the end of the day, but you have some that rise up through the ranks, some who are more skilled in other areas, and so praise God, okay? So I wanted to just kind of complete that thought. Still coming out of Revelation 19:10, talking about keys to understand personal prophecy. I think that's what I said the topic was going to be. I never jot it down. Just keys, wisdom keys to kind of help you understand where some things are with you prophetically, and just understand what that prophetic process looks like. So finishing up my thought with Samuel, there will be times when it's just not meant for you to execute the fullness of your thing, whatever that thing is. It's not meant for you to execute it in that relationship. It can be ministry relationship, romantic relationship, friend relationship, work, whatever your thing is. Everything is not church related. Listen, and I tell my church, I'm Charlotte church all the time, I do more ministry outside of that church. You know, I'm only there from what, Sunday mornings from 9 to 2 approximately. My ministry, there's no way that God can do everything and, you know, release everything out of me in those little short hours. I'm bigger than that. My influence is greater than that. And so should yours. So, you know, just because something is not happening for you within the confines of the four walls of the church, there's a big world out here. Get out here and make a carbon footprint. Put your feet on the ground and impact the kingdom. Impact the earth for the kingdom's sake. So I was finishing up a thought with Joseph too. And I was talking about how even Joseph was called. Great, tremendous calling on his life, but it was not meant to be executed in his family. Talk about Abraham. It was not meant to be executed around family. So, you know, you just have to know that God is doing something in you. And some of you feel frustrated. Well, why is this not happening for me like this? And why is it not happening? Why don't nobody see it? And, you know, whatever. And just know that that may not be the place for you to manifest it. Doesn't mean that you miss God. It doesn't mean that God changed his mind or the prophet was wrong. It just means that's not the place. And God may have you in a season of training. He may have you in a season of being imparted, you know, receiving impartation. That just may be where you are. So just hold on. Just hold on. As I stated coming up, I didn't have, you know, mentors and things. So I just had to fumble my way through it until I got there, you know. And that's kind of what Sammy did. Sammy just served. He didn't know, just kept the oil trimmed, the lamps trimmed in the temple and cleaned up or whatever, you know, tasks that were assigned to him. That's what he did, even though he had this great heavy calling to be the prophet to Israel. He had this great heavy calling to ordain kings. However, that wasn't his time. And so you just do what you need to do. Stay faithful in your little place. Stay faithful. I see so many people, I got to go this. God is telling me if I don't do it, I'm going to die. That's not true. That's not true. Believe me. Number one, God doesn't move in anxiety. And he's certainly not the author of confusion. When God is ready, and I've given you all the example with David. When God is ready for you, trust me. He knows your zip code. He knows where to find you. He knew where to find Samuel, even though Samuel was raised in a house with a man who couldn't even raise his own sons. You'll find some people that don't have a grace for their own life, for their own ministry, for their own. Well, you, God, please have a grace for your ministry. But, you know, for their own whatever, family, what have you, but they have a grace for you. I hear some people say, too, well, I can't receive counseling from a single woman or a divorced woman or a divorced man or whatever. You know, how can you counsel me if you know, in my marriage and you're not married or what have you? And your people will say that. People will say that to you. And they're not wrong. You know, they're not wrong in that assumption. Yeah, they're wondering, well, if you have so much wisdom for marriage, then why isn't your marriage working out? Or why? You know what I'm saying? But you got to understand, too, just because a person's marriage didn't work out doesn't mean they don't have the grace to help somebody in somebody else's. It, you know, doesn't mean that. Now, in some cases, yeah, you know, your thing is broken. How can you help me fix mine? And you can't fix yours. In some cases, yeah. But what I'm saying is, don't throw the baby out with the wash. If just because a person may not have a strong relationship with their children or with their family does not necessarily mean that they don't have the grace to help you. They may have learned, right? Remember, Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. They may have learned wisdom by their suffering that can help you. So just be careful not to throw people in, you know, just come on, church folk will do it. They'll look you up and down and, well, look at your stuff. And follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. You know, just praise God. He that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. So, yeah, some of your personal situations may not be where, you know, may not be ideal. They may not be an ideal personal relationship, but that does not mean that you lack the capacity to help someone in theirs. All right. So I hope I kind of just settled that point. Because it'll, you know, folks will, they'll tell you that, well, how can you do this? And you're not on this level, or you're not there. You don't have kids, and you don't so. And like I said, in some cases, yeah, that may be true. You may not have the experience in that area, but in other cases, God may. Okay. Prime example. Let's talk about the earthly Jesus. You know, he was never married, never had any children, right? Didn't have a family that he had to take care of. So, you know, one may say, well, what qualifies him? tell me this, or even Paul for that matter, what qualifies him to tell me how to conduct my life, my wife, my marriage, you see what I'm saying? So you can bounce that in scripture all day long, and I don't want to spend too much time there because I don't have a lot of time today, but don't let what you have not been proficient in disqualify you from the capacity to help somebody else in that same area. What you learned in your failure season, and trust me, we all have failure seasons. I'll be the first one to tell you, I have many and I still got more to go. Because, you know, we haven't arrived. We're still learning, growing, maturing into the fullness of Christ Jesus. But what you've learned in your failure season can certainly be a blessing, a tremendous blessing of insight to help somebody avoid that same season in their life. Revelation 19:10, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So I just want to kind of talk to you a little bit about helping you get some understanding. Those of you who are sort of wrestling with some personal prophecies, personal prophecies about maybe your health, your family, your relationships, your finances, your ministry, things God is speaking to you that pertains to you, not anything corporate, not anything regional, national, but just a personal word for you. And like I was saying, that, you know, if we could just get to understanding that whatever God is releasing to us prophetically, it's going to marry Jesus. Okay. First of all, Jesus is the word. So if someone says, I have a word from God for you, then it better bear the testimony of Jesus. And can I tell you something? I've shut a lot of prophets down. And let me tell you something. Don't ever be afraid of a false prophet. They can't do a thing to you. I think that's in Deuteronomy, to not fear the false prophets. You know, they'll tell you, the Bible said, touch my anointing and do my prophets. First of all, you ain't even a real prophet. So just, you don't even use that scripture no more. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you have the people of God, you have to put a stop to this nonsense and stop allowing your ears to just be wide open for anybody to say whatever they want to say. You know, just an open sepulcher. You just open. Whoever want to drop a word can drop a word. I need a word. And see on social media, I need a word from God. Don't ever do that. Don't ever put yourself in a position to where you eat from anyone's table. Do not do that. Okay. Always examine. That's why the word of God said, let the prophets prophesy 2-3 by course. Don't just have one single prophet. I have two mentors in my life that I subscribe to, and maybe a prophet outside of that. I mean, I keep my circle so small, we bump into each other. Because I don't have time for those problems. I don't have time in my life to try to figure out, God, is this you? Did you send her? I'm not that one. And so it's very rare that I'm placed in a situation to where I have to figure out if God said, I know what God sounds like. And when you know what God sounds like and somebody comes to you, first of all, you can discern, you know, and if you have a deliverance mantle, you can tell what kind of spirits they're operating in, rejection, abandonment, or they're looking for, an opportunity to preach in your church. Oh, come on, people have all kinds of motives. So you've got to learn how to discern that. Sometimes people just want to get in your ear because the enemy is sending them to corrupt a certain season of your life. I've seen that many times. I've seen people open their ear to a false prophet or an erring prophet, because an erring prophet and a false prophet looks alike. The only difference is a false prophet is false. They're under the guise of Satan. They're working for him, agents of hell. An erring prophet, E-R-R-I-N-G, is a true prophet of God that's either immature, disobedient, rebellion. Well, no, not even rebellion. Disobedient, immature, and unlearned and untrained. And so even though God called them, they're still being developed. And if they're not being developed by someone who's seasoned, by someone who can sort of pull them back in, then ultimately they can have some blurred lines. In other words, they can have some new age stuff, some third heaven stuff mixed in with truth, and God bless the ones that they minister to, because they have to sort that mess out. So you want to live a life to where you don't even, and you got to be careful what you attract to, people of God. You have to be careful. When you look at Jesus's life, You didn't find no prophets trying to get him to give him a word, you know? So if you have that aura or that atmosphere, that countenance that looks like you're looking, you know what I'm saying? You look like you're looking, and those false prophets know how to spot you. I'm telling you, they are so skilled. They are artisans in this thing. They know how to point you out. Oh, I was just hoping somebody would call my name. That prophet, that familiar spirit communicated that thing to that false prophet, and they picked you out of the crowd and told you everything you wanted to hear. Why? Because that devil had been monitoring your life from birth. And here you thinking that God has called you out of the crowd. You know? Because your spirit, you have wombs and portals and gates and doors open in your spirit. And so the enemy is just able to just monitor yourself. You're not a fenced up wall. You're not a hedged up city. You're not hedged up. When I say hedged up, you're not fortified. You're not covered. You're not, you know how the Bible say how God will send his prophets to bear us up lest we dash off the cliff. You're not being born up. You know what I'm saying? You're not being carried. You're not being cared for in the realm of the spirit. And that's a whole nother topic. I'm not going to get into that. But what I'm saying is, if you are, you know, a weepy person, you are in an emotional mess, for the lack of a better word. And please don't get offended. I'm just saying. But, you know, I put it like this. You wear your heart on your sleeve. If you're hurting, everybody knows you're hurting. If you're hurt, I mean, if you're offended, everybody knows. You just, you know, it's written all over your face. And let me tell you something, you can really invite some things to you that you don't want. Jesus said, if I was hungry, I would not tell you. You have to learn. Even Paul said, I know how to be full. I know how to be empty. I know how to abase. I know how to abound. You've got to know how to temper. Remember, temperance is one of the fruit of the spirit. You got to know how to temper your spirit, your emotions. You got to learn how to handle your emotions. Jesus was rejected, but Jesus didn't suffer rejection. Okay, just because somebody says no or somebody denies you doesn't mean you have rejection. No, you've been rejected. That truly happened. That is your experience. But that's not the summation of who you are. I am not rejected. I've been rejected, but I'm not rejected. You got to learn. There's a difference. You know? Boy, I'm all over the place today. I don't know who this is for. Jesus. Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. So, you know, just be careful out here. We are in the falling away. We are in the time where there are false prophets everywhere. So you want to put Revelation 19:10, you want to commit that to memory. That whatever that word is that's been spoken, it better testify. And I've in my church, and I'm, you know, for those who know me, you know my spirit. I don't have to defend that. But when you have a responsibility to guard the house, you know, in the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus wrote letters to the 7 churches, 7 types of churches. And he wrote letter to the angel of the church of Thyatira, however it's pronounced, to the angel of the church of Ephesus. God holds the leader of that church responsible. So if you are that one who allows anybody to handle the mic and allows anybody to throw a word over your people, over the people God has set under your watch, you will be held responsible. And I mean, you go back and read Revelation chapter 2 and read chapter 3, and you'll get that. And you see God say, I have this against you. You've lost your first love. You suffered that woman Jezebel. You did this. You ate that which was sacrificed to idols. God outlined everything that those angels or the shepherds of the house had done that he was displeased with. And I'm telling you, I don't want those problems. So for me, I'm very serious about the charge of God. And so I don't allow just anyone to come through the door and say, hey, I got a word for the house. No, we're going to judge your word. You're going to release that word to one of the prophets whose spirit I trust, right? Who's walking in their stuff, and they're going to judge it. Or you can write it down, and then, you know, you're not just going to get the microphone and just spew all over God's people and then walk, oh, the Lord sent me here. He sent me from Alaska to give you a word. First of all, who called you? Where'd you come from? You know? So learn how to ask those questions. You don't have to accept anything people say. You don't have to do that. You know, and God is a God of order. You got to acknowledge the authority that has already been set. So there have been times where I've just taken the mic from people, told them to sit down. A few times I ushered folks right on out the door. And you do develop a reputation when you do things like that. And it's okay. You know, it's okay. But at the end of the day, you know that you have a charge and that you have a responsibility, or you need to step down and let God put somebody there who can do the work without fearing, having a fear of man, a spirit of the fear of man. If you're going to do it, you have to be bold. You have to be courageous. That's why God told Joshua, you got to have courage. You are set for the battle. You're set to fight for the territory that God has promised God's people. And that territory for them, it was land. For here, for in this dispensation, it made the territory is the promises of God. You know? And so you're set for that. You're set for the defense. And so you've got to do battle. And you've got to put on your... That's why when Jesus appeared to Joshua, he appeared to Moses as a burning bush. He veiled himself. Because Moses was... He was, during that time, was mentally challenged, emotionally challenged, spiritually challenged, dealing with rejection the whole nine yards, you know. But when he appeared to Joshua, he appeared to Joshua as captain of the Lord of hosts. He appeared to Joshua as a general. So be careful even how God approaches you. The way that God approaches you says a lot about your call and about what God is going to do in your life. So all of what comes to you prophetically, it should all flow through the vein of the word of God. If it does not, reject it. And don't be afraid to say, you know what, I'm sorry. And you know, you can be polite, but that God, and I've told people that, I said that, I told one person, I said, that's not what God is doing. You know what I'm saying? You have to know that for yourself. That's not what God is doing in my life. That's not what God is doing. But if you don't know what God is doing, then you, amen, amen. That's a confirmation. That's a confirmation. A confirmation to what? A confirmation to what's coming out of your soulless realm? Or a confirmation to what God is doing? It's different. Don't confirm that coming out of your flesh. Amen. So a couple of keys real quick. I'm going to run through it because I think I've given you enough commentary. Keep prophecy in its place. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean is you receive the prophetic word, whether indirectly or directly, whether God spoke to you or sent someone to you, keep it in its place. It is a guiding light to help guide you and direct you and instruct you in the way you should go. It's not going to do everything for you. It's not going to go and grab your husband or grab your wife and bring them to you. It's not going to go and get the job for you. It's not going to build your house for you. It's not going to bring the people to your ministry. Keep it in its proper place. It is a guiding light. It is saying to you, this is what God is going to do in your life. Keep it in its place. So that way, when you, as you're building and as you're moving and as you're implementing things, you're keeping that prophecy in mind. I'm doing this because God said. When Hannah received the, when she went to pray and Eli again just received the impartation just for that moment, okay, she went home and she could have said, oh, I know it's going to be well. I know God promised me, and went to sleep. No, she acted upon the word. She had sexual relations with her husband. And that's how we have Samuel, okay? She didn't go home and wrap herself in a shawl and get up under her bed in her closet and pray. Prayer is wonderful. I love prayer. But faith without works is dead. You have to do the work. So keep prophecy in its place. Use it as a guiding light, but do the work. Prepare yourself. Commit to whatever you need to commit to. Disconnect from whatever. You know what I'm saying? Do the work. Another thing I want you to keep in mind is prophecy is conditional. Whether the prophet told you that or not. God said he's going to do this if you do so-and-so, but so if you don't, whatever. They may not, some prophets don't really, don't know how to move into the teaching aspect. Sometimes in prophecy, it's not just what you share, but you also have to teach the person how to receive it. Some people, listen, believe it or not, some people don't even know how to receive prophecy. You know, they don't know how to receive it. So there'll be some cases where you may have to teach the person how to receive this prophetic word. especially if it's something they don't understand or something that's so far beyond them, and they're looking at you like a deer in headlights, then you have a responsibility to help them understand what God is saying. All right. So in that understanding, know that prophecy is conditional. This is what God is saying for you. However, this is what God expects from you. Again, going back to Hannah. If Hannah had not had sexual relations with her husband, we would not have Samuel. And Peninnah would still be tormenting her. And I think that's where some people are stuck. God told me, I know God said, God gave me a word, but what are you doing with the word? Are you working the word? Is your life patterning itself after the word? So there are conditions. If you don't work the word won't work. Okay? The Bible says in Isaiah, prophet Isaiah said that God's word is forever settled in the heavens. It's settled. And listen, God's word will not return to him void. This is going to be a hard saying, so please hear my heart. Either you want to take that word that's settled, that prophetic word that's sitting over your life, governing your life. Remember I told you how when Jesus came out of the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit lighted on him as a dove on his shoulders. Then he had to go into the wilderness so that the Holy Spirit could work in him. You see what I'm saying? It's not enough to just have the word. I know God spoke a word over my life. There's a word over my life. Yeah, it's governing your life, but it's not working in you yet. So there are conditions. Jesus had to, he had to submit to warfare. He had to beat the devil with the word. So there are conditions. Yes, God did say that. However, there's something God wants from you too. Because listen, God works with seed. He works with seed. And we talked about that. You're going to have to give God something to work with. So if you don't see a prophecy manifesting in your life, are you working it? Are you in alignment? Have you patterned your life surrounding that word? Or are you just waiting for Jesus to come back down from heaven, come back to the womb of a virgin of Mary and get up on the cross and do all of this stuff for you? It's not going to happen. Okay. He's seated. He's done. It's finished. He said. All right. So we talked about how you put prophecy, keep it in its place. Understand the conditions of prophecy. Another thing too is prophecy is progressive. As you move, you're going to see parts of that prophetic thing unfold, but it's going to take time. Don't visionary wait. It will come to pass because it has an expected end. Remember, the word of God cannot return to. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I wanted to finish this thought that when you receive a word and that word is settled over your life, like the dove was, then you're supposed to go deeper. When Jesus came out the water, Jesus Father said, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. You know, he went deeper. I had one of my spiritual daughters ask me, you know, she's like, Mom, how do I go deeper? Spend time in his presence. Cut off, get rid of all the distractions and all the extra fluff and just spend time with God. That's how you, in any relationship, when the more you spend time with a person, the more you learn about them. You know, that's what the honeymoon time is. Now that you can consummate your marriage. You can spend time. No phones, no family members, no nosy friends. It's just the two of you for whatever period of time that you have that you committed. The period of consummation. You also need that in the things of God. You need a time of consummation. A time of consecration where you just shut everything out. It's just me and God. Time of fasting, devotion, whatever you want to call it. Spend that time with God. So know that prophecy is progressive and it's going to move you, right? Like the dove. Jesus went from having the dove on his shoulder and dove represents symbolic of the Holy Spirit, to moving into being filled with the Spirit. And when he became filled with the Spirit, then he began to move forth into the public work of ministry. Okay. And when I say public, because you don't want to assume everybody knows this stuff. When I say public work of ministry, that means that you're able to minister to others. Not just the Holy Spirit ministering to you, but now the Holy Spirit can minister through you and do public ministry. You can help others now. You're not the only one needing help, but you're in a position where you can be a help and be a blessing to others. Oh, glory to God. I want to make sure I finish up all my thoughts. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me get back to this, what Isaiah said about a word forever settled. God's word will not return to him void. So that word, when that prophetic word is released over your life, it contains within itself, because it is seed. It contains within itself the ability to produce what God said. So when Isaiah said the word won't return void, or the word won't lose its potency, that's why Jesus is omnipotent, or the great potentate, it means that it has a potency. Okay? That prophetic word, if it's true, if God said it, now if you receive something from some flaky prophet, you know, I'm telling you, don't waste your life trying to figure that one out, because you're going to waste your life trying to figure that one out. It has no potency to it. It has no nothing. It's just a bunch of hot air. Just turn it loose. Let it go and work on what God is really doing. But the word of God has within itself, the ability to reproduce, to produce all the way back from Genesis, and the seed will multiply after its time. It will multiply and it will expand and it will process as you move with it. Please hear me when I say that. As you move with it. If you take that word and fall on the floor and scream and shout and throw your Holy Ghost fit and run around a church and tear the pews down and go home and sit down and watch TV, you have just frustrated the purpose of that seed. And you can choke it. And when you die, when we die, okay, we will take that word right back to heaven in its unfinished form. Because that word can only do what you allow it to do. But that way, it will go back to the Father. It will go back to the Father in its unfinished form, harvested form, what's another word? In its incomplete. I don't want to say incomplete. This is unfinished. At least in you, that word had an assignment, but it won't. It's not going to make you do anything. You have to agree with the word. And then that word can unfold itself and open itself and progress and process you through to the place of finishing. Look at Jesus' life. Listen, as apostles, our whole ministry is Jesus. You know? And I've been kissed with both the prophet and the apostles. I can tell you what God is saying, then I'm also going to point you to Jesus. It's always going to be Jesus. Every apostle, that's the whole call, the apostles of Jesus Christ. I don't know what these folks are doing, but we are the apostles of Jesus Christ. That's what we do. We preach Jesus. We eat Jesus. We live Jesus. Everything is Jesus. Everything is Jesus. That's who trained us. That's who raised us. That's who gave us and gifted us to the body. So that's who we are. I hear apostles, and I don't hear Jesus' name. Nothing. I don't hear no teachers on Jesus, no parents. I'm like, what? Whose apostle are you? And that's what the Bible said. He said, I seen in Revelation, he said, you found them who were apostles and found them out to be liars. False apostles. True apostle of Jesus Christ is going to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Okay? Not a brand or whatever else. You know, I don't even, listen, I'm not even worrying my brain about what else is going on out there. I just stick with what I know that I'm called to do. So I need to finish up here. So let that word do the work. Because when that word comes, all right, let me give you a scripture for that. I like to give you a scripture reference. Let me just real quick. Turn to him. Oh, wait. This is Isaiah 55:11. Another easy one you can commit to memory. Isaiah 55:11. I'm going to say this and I have to go. Isaiah 55:11. And I love this, where God gives seed to the sower, bread to the eater. I love all of that. He says here, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. That's the prophecy. Remember I said Revelation 19:10. It's the word. It is the testimony of Jesus. What is Jesus? The word. So shall be the Jesus, the word, the breath, the manna that comes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. A true word of God, a word of God, has a purpose that must be accomplished. Now, it's going to do its part. God's word is going to do its part. You have to do your part. Or that word, when you take your last breath, that word will go right back to the Father. You know, it's because it has, either it's going to fulfill its purpose in the earth, or, you know, Somebody else is going to pick up that mantle. Somebody else is going to do it. Okay. They don't return to me. One translation says, it will not, I love all these translations. Good News Translation. It will not fail to do what I planned for it. It will do everything I sent it to do. Glory to God. That's again, prophecy. Put that into your tool belt too. Isaiah 55:11, Revelation 19:10. That word has a purpose. Now you got a job to do. Okay. The ISV version, it won't return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire. It will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The Holman Christian Standard Bible, it will accomplish what I please and prosper and what I sent it to do. Power. I love these translations here. I'm a King James preacher, but some of these translations are pretty good. It will succeed in the matter. New American Standard says that it will succeed in the matter. And the Brenton Septuagint translation says it will affect my commands. In other words, it will cause things to happen. Now that's powerful. So shall my word be, whatever shall proceed out of my mouth, it shall by no means turn back. Ooh, glory. That is the Brenton Septuagint translation. So shall my word be, whatever shall proceed out of my mouth, it shall by no means turn back. Glory to God. Listen to that, people. Until all the things which I willed. That's what prophecy is. Well, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. What does the word of God say? That's God's will. You know, some of us are ignorant because we won't take time to study the word. You study everything else. You know everything else. You know the latest shoes. You know who the sport players are. You know everything. But you don't know the word, the thing that governs your life. You don't know that. So my people perish. Which I will shall have been accomplished, and I will make thy ways prosperous and will affect my commands. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. That's powerful. So I gave you a few keys, gave you a lot of commentary, shared some wisdom nuggets with regard to keys to understanding personal prophecy. You know, what that looks like for you, what some things you may run into, how you may, you've got to line up with it. You've got to partner with it. You've got to participate, cooperate with it in order for it to come to pass. If you don't do it, somebody will. If God has to wait three, four. Listen, Jesus came down through 42 generations. So guess what? That word will just hang over your family line. You go to God, take the word back, and God send it right back into the earth realm because it's not finished. You'll give up the ghost, right? Give up the air. And that word, that's why Jesus said it is finished. Nobody else has to come behind him and do the word. It's finished. When he gave up the ghost, or gave up the breath, gave up the air, it was finished. When Moses, what I found so particular about, God took Moses' life and hid his body. But the word in Moses was not done. That's why God had to get Joshua. Because that word had to be finished. So when God kissed Moses and took his breath, God breathed it into Joshua. And listen, I don't know about you. I don't want God, my time expires on the earth and I'm finished with my work, praise God, and I can go rest from my labors, enjoy Jesus and all the things that comes in the kingdom of God. I want my generations to have new assignments. I don't want them to be finishing up my stuff. You know what I'm saying? Every book that I need to write, every teaching I need to teach, everything, I need it to be done. I need it to be finished so that when God breathes it into the next generation, it's a freshness. Not something, okay, you got to pick this up, what your grandmother didn't do, what your godmother didn't do, what your great-grandmother didn't do. Joshua had to finish what Moses didn't do. So that word, according to Isaiah 55:11, could not return to God void. I pray you guys understand that. Shoot me some questions if you got, if you need to. Send me your comments, some feedback. Let me know what the word is doing for you. And we'll come back at another time, okay? I'm going to go ahead and log off for now, but let this word bless you. Let it encourage you that God means, he meant what he said. God wasn't playing, you know, when he released that thing, he meant what he said, but he also intends for you to do your part. You know, he didn't rape Mary. He said, that's the holy thing. This holy thing will come upon. The Spirit of God will come upon you and you should be found with this holy thing. And she was found to be pregnant with the Lord Jesus. And all she had to do, she could have said, you know, Gabriel, yeah, you talk a real good game, but I don't know. Let me get 4, 5, 6, 7 confirmations. She said, be it unto me, even as you will. She partnered with God. She cooperated. She loaned God her body. She loaned God her womb. She loaned God her life. at the expense of her reputation, at the expense of her relationship with Joseph, she did it. Okay? God bless you. More grace to you. We love you. We thank God for you. Until next time, I'm signing out.